The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
It's News Talk, it's the Anton Savage Show, and it is the weekend where probably more than ever we try to attract tourists from around the country to come to Ireland. And of course, by virtue of where the Patrick's Festival and Parade is focused, that means much of it coming to the capital city, which raises the question, how safe and nice and clean and friendly and welcoming is the capital city? I'm joined by James Gagan, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Bay South, and Ray O'Donoghue, Dublin's Night Mayor. James, I had the opportunity this morning to have a bit of a wander around the centre of the city, what with working in here, and it wasn't exactly a showcase in safety and cleanliness.
Well, I actually had the similar opportunity. First of all, good morning to you and your listeners and wishing you a happy St. Patrick's weekend. I actually had the same opportunity before coming into the show here. I walked up and around the streets, and in fairness, I do think, you know, Dublin gets a bad rep when it comes to it being a clean city. A huge amount of investment has gone in over the last 6 months to a year from Dublin City Council in particular for making Dublin a clean city. And when I was mayor of Dublin, I literally walked the streets at 6 a.m. with the lads who were doing it. And they really are Dublin's finest. They take absolute pride. But we need to do an awful lot better. And one of the reasons that we established this Dublin City Task Force, it was a report that was published back in October last year, about 150 days ago, was for a very simple reason: to make Dublin a clean city, a safe city, and a city we could all be proud to live in. For the first time ever, really, we put all the agencies together. We gave the owners of, you know, HSE responsible for this, the department responsible for that, city council responsible for this. There's clear recommendations. But what I want to see as a government TD is this thing delivered, because it's now in the Taoiseach's department, interdepartmental government group. We need to get on with the delivery. And really, I think St. Patrick's Day is a good reminder for why we have to get on with it, because I hear what you're saying there in terms of you don't think it's a great celebration. But ultimately, 500,000 people will come to our city. It generates 113 million euro in revenue. People from...
Well, I mean, let me paint a picture for you as a case in point. I had to walk, not had to, I chose to. I walked from here to a shop, which is maybe 200 yards. In that journey, I stepped over the leftover remains of drugs, the leftover remains of prophylactics, and the leftover remains of people's stomach linings and beer. That's 100 yards. If you're an American tourist, if you're a tourist from around Europe, you'd have to look and say, what is going on with this place?
Well, I think we have challenges in Dublin. We recognise that there are challenges. That's what the whole purpose of the task force was to do. And it talks about all sorts of things, including where we have our services located and concentration of services and things like that. And about ensuring that where we have empty spaces in our city, they're filled with people, they're filled with life. You have the Nightmare coming on later. One of the best events that Dublin run, and I went to it myself, is the Night Fest on Capel Street. You have kids doing, you know, artwork at 8 o'clock at night on Capel Street. No drink. You know, this is like walking around a European city. So Dublin does events incredibly well. College football event, unbelievable event. The same amount of money that you're going to generate from St. Patrick's Day comes with the college football Americans coming
into
our city.
And do you think it is safe for those people who come over? Because, I mean, case in point, as I was walking around this morning, there were a group of tourists going by with big cameras in their hands. I was thinking, you're brave, lads. I don't think you're going to be equipped with those cameras for much longer, given where you're walking and the ease with which you're displaying thousands of euros worth of camera.
Safety is a serious issue in Dublin City, and that is why the task force recommended an additional 1,000 Gardaí for Dublin. What we do know is over the last 12 months, there have been an increased number of arrests, increased number of detections, increased number of prosecutions, and yet safety is still an issue. But safety is not just a policing challenge. We have to fill our city with people, fill our city with things, giving people good reasons to come into our city. St. Patrick's is a really good reason. All of these other events that I was citing are other good reasons, but this has to be all year long. We have to bring vitality.
Policing helps, though, doesn't it?
Policing is absolutely essential, but they have to work hand in hand. A good example is the Talbot Street investment, a part of our city that is very challenging. Dublin City Council have put in about 2 million euro. There's an increased policing presence in that area as well to try to revitalise that street.
It's got a way to go.
It does have a way to go. The Parnell Cultural Quarter similarly has a way to go. But if we get those parts of the city right, if we deliver on them, we've clear, identifiable targets. That's what the task force was set up to do. I think we will have a better city and a city we can all be proud of.
You mentioned Dublin's Night Mayor. I pause just so you don't think we're being disparaging about him. He's not a nightmare. Ray O'Donoghue. Ray, are we being unfair to, am I being unfair to Dublin?
A nighttime economy advisor is my correct title, Anton, but yeah, nightmare they're calling me. My friends call me Nightmare with a M-A-R-E, but anyway, that's another story. Anton, I think you're being a little bit unfair. I think we have to put things into perspective. We've a major capital city. We've 8 million tourists thereabouts coming into the city every year. We've population almost 2 million, greater Dublin. So we've a very active and very busy city, and we've a lot of people moving about, going from work to events to whatever it may be. I think there was last June, I think there was 600,000 people on the move, and that was just with events alone. So I think people need to take a bit of responsibility themselves, you know, and actually, you know, one thing I hate to see is somebody just throwing rubbish on the street, you know. You can't police that, you know. You can't have Dublin City Council going around picking up after people as they, you know, they just throw their bag of chips on the streets. You know, I think that there's a civic responsibility as well with people, and that's something that's kind of, the blame can't be all on the council or on the guards or whatever. I think it's to do with
it's kind of small beans,
well,
though, compared to people visibly selling and using drugs, to young guys on e-bikes with faces covered screaming through the centre of the city. I mean, there are bigger issues than I would have thought. Chip wrappers, no?
No, I know, and that is, and that's a challenge, and of course it is, and we're trying to put in initiatives to help with safety in the city, give people more of a feeling of safety. We introduced a welfare area over Christmas. It was like a pilot scheme for a few nights, and it was a great success. It was great interest from public, media, and so on, and that's something we want to bring in on a longer term basis, and I'm actually working on it right now, and so hopefully that you'll see the fruits of that in the next couple of months, and that'll be more like, it's kind of like a stopgap between the A&E and the guards. It's be like a help zone or a safe zone, and that if that's a success, we may have more of them. So we are actually putting together some initiatives that will help with safety and with that feeling of safety, and just maybe change the narrative a bit. I know there's challenges, we all know there's challenges, but every major capital city has challenges. You go to New York, the greatest city in the world, they've got serious challenges. Every city does. I've been to,
but New York,
Amsterdam,
by terms of scale, I mean, Dublin is much closer to New York in the 80s than it is to New York now, and New York has a
I think you're being unfair again, Anton. You know, that's that narrative that's saying, oh, Dublin is like Patchy the Bronx or something like that in the 80s. I don't think that's the fact. And as
you would regard Dublin as safe and as clean as most of around Midtown Manhattan, would you?
I'm not saying, for example, you know, Midtown Manhattan. I know you're talking about this cleaned up Times Square and so on. I remember it. I was there in the early 90s. It's a very different city now, or the centre of the city is. But I mean, every city has these challenges. And I think it's about slow change. It's about the task force. It's about initiatives that I'm trying to bring in, the city council are trying to bring in, the Department of Justice, the Department of Culture, and more events, more culture nights.
Okay, well, let me pick up on the task force thing, because that's something that James Gagan was talking about as well. This was a task force that was chaired by Dave McRedmond, the CEO of On Post, formerly the CEO of TV3. And it laid out a couple of fairly simple things, you know, get rid of the vacant buildings that are knocking around.
Ten big moves was the kind of...
Indeed. So James Gagan, why has it taken 150 days and nothing has happened if they are simple big moves?
So the first thing to say is that there are some things that are in the task force that are happening. There's some things that were in the task force that were recommended that were already taking place, how we present our waste in our city in terms of, you know, commercial premises presenting their waste in bin bags. But there's more that has to be done. And, you know, the transport plan, again, that was something in the task force. A lot of that is working very well on the keys.
Six months, but nothing.
That's what I'm saying. So there are things, as the investment in Talbot Street that I talked about there a moment ago.
But these are not the big blocks of the task force report, nor are they the direct implementation of its recommendations.
Let's be straight about this. The biggest pieces is about the revitalisation of O'Connell Street, what we're going to do with the GPO. How are we going to impose a use it or lose it strategy, particularly for private premises that own vacant buildings, to try and impose meanwhile uses, you know, so that you put some culture into a building that's currently empty? These are straightforward ideas, but some of them have a lot of legal complexity. Some of them have funding challenges. And what I absolutely...
Such as?
Well, that they cost money, and Dublin City Council doesn't have the money.
Oh, what legal complexity and funding. Give me a specific example of an insurmountable
legal complexity to a private owner of a private building in telling them that you have to put that into some use, is that they have a private ownership of that building. You're talking about interfering with their property rights.
So you're saying a derelict building that isn't being used, you can't make the
we can impose taxes on them. That's what's working at the moment. And you try to, you know, you're trying to use a carrot and stick. You hit them with a hard tax and say, look, will you deliver us something here, because we're hitting you with a tax. tactically put
so
them
that's not an
building.
Insurmountable obstacle.
So, well, the tax isn't sufficient in my view. I think we need to start acquiring some of those buildings. So you need a fund to, you know, give to the city to start buying up some of these buildings and start putting things into it. Because there's a really good example just around the corner from here.
But hang on for a minute, James. You're a government. You can do these things. You can change the CPO Absolutely. Legislation. Yeah. You can change the tax legislation. Why have you not?
Well, I'm on the radio here as a government TD screaming for the Taoiseach to deliver on the task force recommendations. And I'm not making this party political. In fairness, this has been an interdepartmental government group. What is that? A lot of civil servants, senior civil servants from different departments coming together, meeting together. They're going to recommend to government. They're going to deliver it. They're going
to
deliver on
the
recommendations.
But in essence, what you're saying is we're not doing it and I can't get my own party to do it.
Well, in essence, what I'm saying is that I'm a government TD. I was the mayor of Dublin. I don't think Dublin is a party political issue. In every other county across the country,
Oireachtas, a party political issue.
Well, can I just make this point? In every other county across the country and for cities, they are so much better at clubbing together to shout for money and urban and renewal for their cities, for their towns, for their villages. Historically, I'm a new TD, but historically in Dublin, Oireachtas members have been dreadful at that. I'm trying to get everyone here singing from the same hymn sheet. And in
but
fairness,
you just need to get your own party to sing from. You're in
well,
government.
Well, my party are on board. It was Simon Harris who initiated this report. It's now with the Taoiseach's department, with Micheál Martin, and we want
so
to see it delivered.
So it's Fianna Fáil's fault.
I'm not trying to make this a party political issue, but it is sitting in his department. I've used my opportunities that I get in the Dáil to try and push this forward, to try and get it published, recommended. And in fairness, I was on a radio show only a couple of days ago on the same issue, and the government spokesperson said that in the coming weeks, the recommendations are going to be presented.
You're a government spokesperson.
Well, I'm a government TD,
yes.
Who is trying to get the Taoiseach to deliver on the recommendations.
But that's like saying my right hand is trying to persuade my foot. You are part of the same entity.
Not really. It's pretty typical around the country where you're trying to get the areas that you represent, you're trying to get the best you possibly can. And very often, you work across party lines.
What you're actually saying is we funded a task force to come up with a series of recommendations. We looked at the recommendations, thought they were pretty good. We sent it to the Taoiseach's office, and between us in government, we're incapable of getting them to do the thing that we've decided to do.
No, we're certainly not incapable. This is going to be
demonstrably you are by your own description.
No. This is going to be delivered upon.
When?
I am using... Well, in a couple of weeks, I was told the recommendations are going to go to government, and then we have to see the actual implementation. I was using the opportunity of St. Patrick's Day to remind everyone really of the importance of getting these recommendations funded, getting them implemented, so we can have the safe, clean city that we all want to have, that has cross-party support across all party lines, and it's something that we all want to see for Dublin. And let's put on the Dublin jersey and get this thing implemented.
You going to go to the parade?
I'm going to my local parade in Sandymount for Clannagale, so that's where I'll be going with my three kids.
Do you know what the highlight of the Clannagale parade in Sandymount is going to be?
There's normally a tractor, which is quite, people would find that hard to believe that there's a tractor in Sandymount Village, but there is. There's a great GA club in Clannagale.
Does it do anything in the year between the parades? I can't see much tractoring work in Sandymount.
I think the tractor gets shown up every year as a bit of a novelty, and it's great for young kids, though. That's what is nice, and I'd like to see more of those in villages around the city, actually.
Ray, what are your plans for, given that you're the nightmare? What would you say, economic evening advisor? What's your proper title?
Nighttime economy advisor.
Nighttime economy advisor.
Nightmare is fine. That's
any big plans for the festival?
Well, we've got the St. Patrick's Festival after dark, and that's the first time that late night events have been introduced to the festival. So kind of happy with that. There's five different venues involved. There was a show last night. It was sold out. Most of them are sold out. A complex tonight, ping pong disco. I think that's sold out as well. I think there's a few tickets left for DJ Tennis and Pygmalion. They actually take over Powers Court, so that's a great night as well.
Oh, the Powers Court Tennis Centre.
Powers Court, yeah, the whole centre, yeah. So that's
not a bad thing to turn into a venue.
Yeah, it's a great venue. I've been in a couple of gigs there, and that's a great venue.
That tempts you away from the tractor?
I need to talk to my wife and three kids as to whether I can go up to Pygmalion tonight, but sounds like fun, all right?
That's tonight. Well, it's tomorrow, then there's Patrick Mason, who's appropriately named. Patrick Mason, he's a big name DJ in Index, who've moved to Abbey Street now, and Wigwam as well on Abbey Street. So plenty happening, and it's great to see, nice media interest in that. St. Patrick's After Dark for the first time. And I actually am going to the parade, believe it or not. So I'll be a bit of a 24-hour job, I suppose, over the next day or two. I'm going to the parade for the first time in years. So,
well, enjoy it. And weirdly, fingers crossed it stays the way the weather was this morning. Having a Patrick's Day that isn't freezing and raining sideways would be an amazing thing. Ray, thank you very much. That is Ray O'Donoghue, Dublin's Nighttime Economic Advisor, to give him his proper title. Likewise, thank you to James Gagan, who's Fine Gael TD for Dublin Bay South.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.